Well, you didn't have them on. Okay. Anyway, I hope this is going to be a refreshing message, but not too refreshing, because the baptism tank is open behind me. And if I get too excited, I might fall back there. When I was younger, I was a missionary in Argentina, and I was telling Eric that I was preaching one day, and in Argentina, we have our baptism underneath the platform, and the pulpits on top of it. And the ladies love to have nice flowers and stuff in Argentina. And there was a beautiful pot of flowers there. And I was preaching and getting too excited about Jesus, and it fell off. I caught it and put it back on, and I didn't miss a beat. And 20, 25 years later, the young people, who were young people at the time, now are older, they still talk about that, but I couldn't do it today. I'm not quick enough. Now, wasn't that a wonderful time we had this morning? Oh, I'm sitting in the back. Usually I sit in the front. I'm not usually a backslider. I'm only kidding. You people back there aren't backsliders. But I'm not usually a backslider. I'm usually a front slider. I like to get up front and not be distracted or anything. But wasn't that a wonderful time? The world doesn't know what we just did. The world has no understanding. I mean, last night, a lot of them, in spite of the pandemic, are out partying and drinking and dancing and woohoo, having a great time, they think. But today, they both woke up with a headache probably, and many of them. But here we are enjoying one another's fellowship, even though it's you people in Zoom land. Hi there. Oh, wonderful people in Zoom. Look at them all up there. Wow. This is fantastic. Well, this morning, we're going to ask our dear brother, which I'm so thankful we got a good technician back there. We're going to zip over to my PowerPoint, and we're going to look in Galatians this morning. And then later on this morning, we're going to look into Acts. And so let's just open up your Bibles, please, to Galatians. And I'll turn on the PowerPoint. I'll share this. Thank you. Isn't it wonderful technology? Wow. You can't beat that. There we are. I think we're up and running now, are we? Yes? Looks good. Well, thank you, brother. You know, it's much easier for a preacher to have someone who knows what they're doing, because it's very nerve-wracking. But today, I keep looking back. And if you don't like my sermon, just push me a bit. But anyway, we're going to be looking at Paul's called by God. It's a message that the God has put on my heart, especially during these last few months, because I'm finding myself not evangelizing as much as I used to, because I can't go and knock on people's door. I can't go to the train station and give out Bibles to the people coming off the sky train. I can't do those things anymore. So this message is not just for you, it's for me also. And I'm sure God will bless it. And in our next meeting, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. But this morning, as I said, we're looking at Galatians chapter 1, 11 to 23. There we go. The word of God says, and Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, 15, before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Yes, Paul realized that he was chosen of God, and he certainly shows that in his writings. And Paul was called of God, and each one of you this morning, if you've taken this bread and took of the wine, and you are born again, if you're a child of God, if you're part of the family of God, if you're converted, that means you have been called by him, and you've been called not just to come and sit here at this gorgeous setting with these beautiful benches and nice and warm in here and the fellowship and the smiling faces. Have you seen Jesus this morning? Have you seen the sun? I have. Even though many of you have masks on, I've seen the sun in your eyes. I've seen the Son of God. And I'm not going to get emotional. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful to be part of the family of God. Amen. It doesn't matter what language, what nationality, but when you have Jesus, there's just that something about that person who has Jesus. And even though it's miserable out, it's raining out, it's foggy out a little bit and up in some parts, but I've seen the sun. I've seen the Son of God. And I'm so glad that we can be together this morning. So we have been called of God, and I'm sure we're going to realize that it's only by God's amazing grace that we have been called of God. Now look at the verses there, and you're going to see as you read down, we're not going to read them all, but we are going to refer to them. It says, and they glorify God because of me. Look down there. What verse is it? Somebody got it for me? I haven't got enough room on the pulpit here to have my Bible open, so but I've got it here, and I've got my iPad, so everything's all in order. Somebody got that? And they glorify God because of me. What verse is it? 24. Gracias. Thank you. Thank you. Verse 24. And they glorify God because of me. Now, my question to myself and to each one of us here and each of you in Zoom land there, are people glorifying God because of you? We're going to see a person here from a persecutor to a preacher. From a persecutor to a preacher. We're going to see that. And you have been called by the grace of God. I have been called by the grace of God. Now, these are the verses, and we are not going to read them for the sake of time, even though we're going to refer to them, and we'll be reading them individually, but I know God will bless it because it's his word. And the thing we're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul, and we're not, you know the story very well, how Paul was going to Damascus, and a shining light came down, and he fell off the horse or the donkey, and he was converted. He was transformed. He was transformed. And you know, the word of God says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life begins. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Transformation. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. I love butterflies. I don't like caterpillars either. I don't like them, but I like butterflies. You know, transformation. Now, you're going to say, what have you got this picture, this fellow up here for? I love transformation stories. Know who this guy is? You know who he is? Yes, that's right. Ebenezer Scrooge. He was converted. He was transformed overnight from a miserable old miser to a joyful giver. Remember the story at Christmas time? 180-degree turn. I love these stories. Now, how about this one? You're going to tell me this one. Come on now. This is for you. Where are you? Come on up. Who's that? Who's that? You know? Clark Kent. Do you remember when I was your age and your age over there and over there, we would be there and say, look, it's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. Yeah, you like that, don't you? That's what I call transformation. And I love transformation. And one I didn't like when I was your age, I didn't like this. Remember this one now? You know this guy? Who's this guy? Who's he? Remember him? That is Bruce. That is Ruth Bannum. And remember him? What did he get turned into? What was he transformed into? That's right. He would turn into the Hulk. Those were neat stories, weren't they? Oh, to be young again. But I'm going to tell you something more important. And I love them. I still love them. And my grandchildren, not so much, because most of them are girls. I've only got one grandson. But you know what the stories I like most now? I like transformations, spiritual transformation. That is so much more exciting. Those are amazing stories of Superman and the Hulk and Mr. Scrooge. And I love to hear these stories. But the best transformation stories are that of spiritual nature. Now, I have been transformed. How much? That's what we're going to talk about. You've been transformed. How much? That's what you have to examine yourself with this message. And that's what the Word of God is, all powerful, all transforming people every day. I've seen many transformations. I spent a lot of time at Union Gospel Mission and Central City Mission and Harbor Light Mission. I used to stand on the corner of Cordova and Hastings and Maine and preach Jesus. And I've seen people transform. And I come to churches like this and assemblies and so on. And I just love to see people. And I love their transformation stories. Now, not all of them are so dramatic as Superman, but they're more meaningful and they're true. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creature has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Now, becoming a Christian is not like joining a club. It's not like joining a church. That's not becoming a Christian. It is much more important. And it's not about information. It's about transformation. Yes, we get a lot of information. I love the Bible. I've been studying the Bible over 65 years. Yeah, 66 years, I guess, I've been studying the Bible. And I still don't know it as good as I maybe should. But I love it. Because daily, it transforms me. It changes me. It made me a new creature in Christ. But you know, after the resurrection of Jesus, there was no single effect in the Bible or outside of that, anybody, but the transformation of Paul, Saul to Paul, caused a ripple that is still in today. When I read the story of that man, I get goose pimples. Now, I don't know if this is translated into Chinese, but how do you say goose pimples in Chinese? You don't know. I don't either. But, you know, I get goose pimples when I think of Saul being transferred. You know, David wrote, not David in the Bible, but another David. He wrote, we need more than a minor adjustment when it comes to Christ. Only the gospel can transform someone from the inside out. It's not a head knowledge. It's not more information. It's a heart knowledge. It's an inner being, inside out transformation. And sometimes I look at myself and I want to give myself a kick in the pants. Have you ever tried that? I won't try it here because I might fall back. Now we know this fella because in our song books in front of you there, the praise our songs and hymns, hymn number, we're not going to sing it right now, but 293, we all know that amazing grace. And I like what this man says. This is John Newton. He says, I am not the man I ought to be. I am not the man I wish to be. I am not the man I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am the man. I'm not the man I used to be. What a testimony. Now, this man, John Newton, understood this. He was a slave trader. He was a violent man, given to drunkenness. But he found himself praying in the middle of a storm for God's mercy. He became a pastor, and he started writing songs, And he became a great man of God, and he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's transformation. That's a change from the inside out. And that's what I want for my life daily. Yes, I was saved 65 years ago. But you know, it's growing. It's growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a process. Some people of my age now, I know I look 54, but I am 75. And you don't have to keep saying that. But anyway, you know, people my age at 75, they said, well, I've been there, I've done it. I'm staying home. The pandemic is a good thing, so I don't have to go to church. I can put it on and put it off. It's up. No. We need each other. And if you can come out there in Zoom land, come. It's wonderful. I know a lot can't. I mean, I have my mask on. I sit in the back. I've got distance and so on. So we appreciate that. But we can't use this as an excuse not to go to church. The fellowship is so beautiful. I know this one person that came in, and I won't mention the person, and they gave the person a hug. But listen, the head was completely this way. Nothing was touching, just a hug like this. And wow, I want to hug four or five of you. I would love to hug you all, but I don't know you all. But four or five of you, I would love to hug. You know, I have people come to my house, and I say, come on in, and we go in, and we go through, we go out in the patio, and they sit a meter away, 2 meters away from me. But let's examine ourselves in regards to this. Now, here's another fellow who was transformed. Do you know him? Chuck Colson. He was one of the most powerful men in the world. Went from being the henchman of Richard Nixon to become one of the greatest prison evangelism this country has ever known. Transformation. Transformation. But in your hearts, reveal Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. Both do this with gratefulness and respect. Now, we're not all called to be evangelists. I am called to be an evangelist. I've been to 75 countries. I've evangelized in French, Spanish, and English. But God called me that. You're going to say, ha, I can sit back in the pew, the beautiful pews. I sit back. I'm not called. I don't have to. No, you are called to evangelize, even though you might not have the gift of evangelism. And in the second meeting, we're going to show you how we can evangelize during the pandemic. And we can't use it as an excuse that, oh, I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm some other gift. Are you with me? Are you picking up when I'm dropping down now? Are you getting it? We can't use the excuse. Now, in this book of Chuck Colson, I read it because of this meeting, but you know, he gives us some very good direction about how we can evangelize. For instance, very quickly, we'll just talk. Don't preach, just talk. Have a conversation. And I'm going to give some examples if we have time later on, how that even this last 2 weeks, I've just had conversations. Sure, it's 2 meters away, but you can still have conversation. Don't generalize. Be specific. People are interested in people today. In general, people, especially today, because people are so lonely. People are so isolated. So when you go to your fence and you hold up and the person's 2 meters away, tell them specifically that, you know, you are going to church. You are listening to the gospel. Oh, the gospel? What's the gospel? You can tell them the gospel. I've had more chances during this pandemic in this sense, personal witnessing, than I did outside of the pandemic, even though I don't feel I'm evangelizing as much, but I have more personal ones. Don't generalize, be specific. Don't be vague and mysterious. Be clear and simple. Be yourself. This is what that he said we should do. Don't be vague and mysterious. Ooh, you know, I was, no. You don't have to change your voice. You don't have to change your vocabulary. Just tell them the way it is. I was going to say put the cards on the table, but I might get excommunicated if I say that. But you know what I mean. Don't Defend yourself. Just deliver your story. It's easy to argue against theology than it's to argue a changed life. I mean, I have talked to so many people about theology, and you can argue all day about theology. Because one person is pre-mill, another is post-mill, one is predestination, one is post-pandemic. They're all over there. But when you testify, you tell the person how you were changed, how you became to become a Christian. So easy, so good. Yes, be brief, logical, and most of all, be humble. Paul wrote, look what Paul says. But I make known to you, brothers, concerning the good news which was preached by me, that is not according to man. Verse 11, look at verse 11, because we're studying a passage now, and you can go over, this is one of the first points of the message is that he didn't get hit from man. You might have heard it from a preacher at the 60th Avenue Gospel Chapel. You might have heard it here. Praise God, you do many times. But it's the word of God that convicts us. It's the word of God that convicts us. So I encourage you to tell me the gospel. Hear it, believe it, like it, and share it. That's what we have to do with the word of God. I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. We are to share our testimony. You are called of God to share your testimony. It's not a maybe thing. It's not yes, no, maybe. It's yes. Preach, teach. And it's not standing on the corner of Hastings and Maine on just preaching like that. Hey, you know what? Sunday, I went to church. I went to church and tell them it was all safe. You know, the whole thing. You know, I don't like the colors of the gloves of Gary, but that's okay. I'm not going to not come because of those gloves. You know what I mean. Are you with me? Yeah, good. Everybody's with me. That's good. That's what I want. Verse 13. Notice verse 13 there, please. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. Paul was quite a fella, you know, but he was transformed. He was that. Paul was violently persecuting God's church. That's what it says in verse 13. He violently, Paul did not his best to destroy it. Paul was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors, but he was transformed. Anybody can be transformed. I don't care if they're a drunkard. I don't care if I don't care if the woman's had an abortion. I don't care if the person has killed somebody. We have to repent, of course, but we can see people transformed in the prison ministry. And I've never been really in the prison ministry, but I've been to every prison in Burnaby, every prison in Mission, Kent, Mission. All of them, and I have seen lifers transformed. People on death road, I've heard of them being transformed. And that's what God wants all of us to be. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Look at that verse 15, isn't that beautiful? By his marvelous grace, then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. Before this, he wouldn't even talk to a Gentile. Before this, he would walk on the other side of the street to not be near a Gentile. We think we're in a pandemic. He would be more than 2 meters away from a Gentile. Oh, no. He would move. He would move away. But God's power is to transform men and women and boys and girls. And God can do it. I can't. Sometimes I'm a pretty big guy. I'm over 200 pounds. Don't tell anybody that. You know, and sometimes I wish I could grab a person and shake them around. And you can't do that. It's our job, your job, my job is to share the word of God. To share the word of God with others. And that's what Paul is trying to get across here in this passage.
Be transformed. That's the important part. Yes, by the grace of God. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. You have been called. You have been chosen by the marvelous grace of God. Now we got to take that grace and not be selfish, not be egoistic. We got to share that with others. It is so important. So important. Looking back, yes, we can look back. We can look at the life of Paul. But we are pressing forward. We are moving forward. We're going forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The person might spit on you. I've been spit on many times. The person might rip up the tract of the New Testament that you're giving out, which we'll talk about later. The person might call you a name. I have been told where to go, how to get there, and the quickest way possible so many times. And I have told people, I am not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God. Whoa. But they've told me to go there. We are called of God to share the good news to others. I love this verse. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for its righteousness can be gained through the law. Christ died for nothing. So we can't brag. What are you saying here? We can't brag. We can't say, hey, I've been a good person. I've given blood to the Red Cross. Do you know I helped that old lady cross the street? And you try to pat yourself on the back, but you can't. It's only the grace of God that saved you. And the grace of God will save your neighbor, your relatives, and your loved ones. If we don't tell them about the thing, we're not doing what we are called to do. When I think of the Apostle Paul, I think the caterpillar became a butterfly on the dusty road leading to Damascus. What a change. What a transformation. Yes, it was a radical change. Radical. I like radical things. How can you tell? I like things to move. I like things to change. How radical was this change? Paul was a fanatic. He was a zealous Jew, became a missionary to the Gentiles. That takes a transformation only by God. He hated them with a passion. He would go into their houses. He would grab them by the scruff of the neck and pull them out and take them and put them in prison. The Jews and the Gentiles, anybody that didn't believe like he believed. But let's look at three quick things here about the Apostle Paul. Time is just about gone. And let's just look at the three things that happened after his salvation. First of all, we find Paul, since we're studying this passage, I did not consult with my human being, with any human being, even though Ananias restored my sight. I didn't share with him what happened on the road into town. So that's one thing, okay? So it wasn't a man thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not North American, white, Caucasian. It is not that. The gospel, the word of God, is for all nations, for all people. Everyone matters in the eyes of God. God loves everyone. We used to sing red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. I don't know if we can sing that politically. I don't hope this isn't being paid. But anyway, I don't know if we can sing that anymore, but that's the truth. That's the truth. I did not go to Jerusalem to seek those who were apostles before me. And I mean, these are facts from the Bible. And he went into Arabia. Now, why did he? How long was he in Arabia? He spent time with Jesus. That's what he did. He spent 3 years in Arabia with Jesus. And Arabia is a desert part of the country. 3 years. We have to spend time with Jesus. And when we spend time with Jesus, that's how we get transformed. That's how we change. And God knows that. My question is, yes, you have been changed. That's why you're here this morning. Have you been born again? Yes, you have been born again. Do you have a pre-Jesus, post-Jesus story? You do. Share it. That's all I can say. Share it. Share it with others. And that's my prayer for you. Time is gone, and I'm still looking behind me. God bless you. Let me just give a word of prayer, and then we'll have a break. Thank you, Heavenly Father, once again for the Apostle Paul. Oh, Lord, we are so excited about him. What a guy. What a man. What a transformation. And I just pray for each and every one in Zoom land, as well as each and every person here this morning, Heavenly Father, that we will be transformed like a caterpillar to a butterfly, a beautiful colored butterfly that flies away. So beautiful. And yet the caterpillar is such a different type of animal. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time. Thank you for each person here. Keep us safe. Thank you for all those in Zoom land. Bless them. And we just pray for the baptism and for the next meeting, that your name might be uplifted. That's why we're here today. And we give you our thanks in Jesus' name.